thing to me of heaven. Why, there's so many great things we can sing about, but that certainly is one on the top of my list. Sing to me of heaven. Heaven is a place that we want to go to. That's one of the reasons that we're here. It's one of the great promises Jesus made in John chapter 14 and at verse 2 and 3 and so on, when He said, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will return again to receive you unto myself, so that where I am, you may be also." And that is awesome. Just think about God. You know, we kind of talked about that a little bit this morning, how great God is and how small we are. And yet He loves us. And He gave Himself for us to die upon a cross. What a great thing that is. And as we have in the mornings, we've really been going through the book of John and talking about Jesus. We've been talking about how wonderful He is and how there is no other way but Jesus. Because our theme this year is God made us alive together with Christ. And you want to underline that word "with." We want to be with Christ. We want to be with God. We want to be with all the saints who've gone before us. We want to be with all the angels and all the hosts of heaven. And we want to be there and be able to see the face of God and be able to live eternally in joy and in pleasure and worshiping our great God and Creator. And I think that's so exciting. And we should be holding on to whatever reins God gives us and just follow in His footsteps. Now in the evenings, we've been talking about how important it is to draw near unto God. And you know, when I think about this morning, we studied together from John chapter 4, and we talked about the living water that Jesus offered that woman, that Samaritan woman at the well, and how that woman responded and said, "Give me this water." Isn't that great? How exciting is that? "Give me this water." And I don't think there could have been a better question at that time. And we need to be a people who are asking Jesus to give us that water. And you know, that got me thinking about this lesson for tonight. And those who've asked Jesus, "Give me this water," many of you are sitting in this room right now. In fact, from my perspective, all of you have at some point in time, whether you realize it or not, asked that question, "Give me this water. Let me receive that precious water of life, that living water, through baptism, through my spiritual growth, by the Word of God and the power of God and the blood of Jesus Christ, give me that water." And I think that somehow I couldn't help but try to tie those things together in tonight's lesson. I see so many of us that have drunk from that living water that Jesus has offered us, taken participants of the Holy Spirit, tasted the heavenly Spirit and the good things to come, the salvation, spiritual understanding. And I see that everyone who is therefore in Christ Jesus will be one day transformed. This old body will just be changed in the twinkling of an eye. We'll receive a new body, and Lord willing, that crown of life will be there waiting for us, and we'll be in heaven, and we'll be putting all this behind us. And that's what we want. You know, Romans chapter 12 and at verse 2 talks about a transformation. It's not the transformation in the end of all things when Jesus takes us home, but it's a transformation that needs to take place here while we're on this earth. Paul wrote in that chapter in Romans chapter 12 and at verse 2, he tells us that therefore consider the Romans 11:22. We need to consider the goodness and the severity of God. And we need to be a people who are working towards goodness. We need to be a people who are continuing in goodness so that we're not a people that are cut off from what is going to be coming before us. As we think about this, think of Solomon. Remember what he asked for? You know, God could give him anything, all the riches, power, kingdoms, everything. And what did he say? Therefore, give to your servant an understanding heart to judge the people, that I may discern between good and evil. For who is able to judge this great people of yours? Solomon wanted wisdom. When we think about drawing closer to God, we need to think like Solomon. We need to think like that woman at the well and ask for wisdom. Ask for that living water. And so I conclude that one partakes of the living water, one will be to be changed in a way that others are not able to be changed. Jesus tells us in Matthew chapter 7, you shall know them by their fruits. And I'd like to cover that. Matthew chapter 7, verse beginning at verse 15, we'll read verse 15 through 20. Matthew chapter 7, verse 15 through 20. Jesus says, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but bad trees bear bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear good fruit, a bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire." And look at verse 20. "Therefore, by their fruits you shall know them." And you know that applies to us. And I want to try to launch off of that. "Therefore, by their fruits, you shall know them." Remember Romans chapter 11, 22. We need to be aware of the goodness and severity of God. We need to walk in goodness and continue in His goodness so that we're not cut off. And we are going to be God's children in heaven one day if we act like it. It's pretty simple. That's what Jesus said. "Therefore, by their fruits, you shall know them." And there's so many scriptures we could turn to, just too many, really. But think about this. 1 Samuel 24, as the old proverb said, wickedness proceeds from wicked. A good tree bears good fruit, a bad tree bears bad fruit. "And my hand will never be against you if you're good." Proverbs 20:11, "Even a young man is known by his actions whether his conduct is pure and upright." You will know by their fruits. Proverbs chapter, or Matthew chapter 12, verse 33, "Make a good tree and its fruit will be good. Or make a tree bad and its fruit will be bad. For a tree is known by its fruit." And finally, Galatians, if we're walking in the Spirit, then we'll be recognized for that. We'll bear the fruit of love, joy, and peace, and kindness, and goodness, and faithfulness, and gentleness, and self-control, long-suffering. Those are things that will show. People will look at you and say, "Hey, look, they're different." And so as we think about drawing nearer to God, you know, what is it we look for? What do we see or try to see in people who claim that they're drawing near to God? And I have 8 things to talk about here tonight, just quickly. And you know, how do we recognize those who have drawn near to God? The Apostle Paul, he wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 3:8, "But we all with unveiled face, beholding as a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of God." And so when we think of this, we ask, you know, how do you know? How do you know that this person is drawing near to God? How do you know this person? Well, you look at them. Because they're going to walk in an image and portray the glory of God. Everything they do, all their choices, it's going to be based upon the glory of God that's working in their lives. And so I want you to think for a moment. Number one of 8. You know, it is that person who comes together upon the first day of the week. Who is at the assembly when the doors open? Who comes together to break the bread that the disciples of the Lord did way back in that first century? You know, in Acts chapter 20 and verse 7, we're told upon the first day of the week, the disciples came together to break bread. In 1 Corinthians 11, 23, we know that they received, that Paul said, I received from the Lord that which I now deliver unto you. That the same night in which the Lord was betrayed, He took bread. They came together. He taught them. You know who it's not? When you look at a person who says, I'm a Christian, and they're not at the assemblies, are they drawing near to God? To be honest with you, I don't think so. I think there's work to be done. Spiritual growth that needs to be done there. And so we say it's not the man who eats and drinks the Lord's body, partakes in His blood whenever he feels like it. It's somebody that is going to show you by their good works, show you that they're interested in the goodness and continuing in God's goodness. And so that's one thing when you think about, am I drawing closer to God? Is that my mindset? I'm thankful this evening that I feel pretty confident in saying, I think it is your mindset. But we all have to, number two, think about this. It is the one who sings, speaking, making melody and grace in our hearts. Ephesians 5:19. Songs, hymns, and spiritual songs. Singing and making melody. Colossians chapter 3 and at verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. And in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Singing with grace in your heart. Who? To the Lord. And when you see somebody at the assembly and they're doing that, they're participating, it's a great joy. But you know who it isn't? It isn't a man or a woman who cannot imagine worshiping God without an instrument. And think about that. There are people in this world who just, they tell you how much they love Jesus. They tell you how close they are to God. Jesus is my personal Savior. I have a great relationship with Him. And I know the Father loves me. And I felt that when I was baptized by the Spirit. And I'm telling you, you can't worship God without an organ. You can't worship God without a praise team. You can't worship God without some kind of an instrument. It's not that person. And so that's an indicator whether or not this person, me, is a person that is drawing near to God. Number three, it is the one who preaches or preaches the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. He preaches the faith, the one body, the one church, the one Lord, the one faith, the one baptism, and makes no excuses for that. He's the one that preaches the Word in season or out of season. And you recognize that preacher. And you need to understand that person, whether it be a preacher or any one of us here in this room, when we're talking to friends, neighbors, but we're going to stick to the Word, whether people like it or not. And you know who it's not? It's not the man who embraces all forms of faith. God is in the trees. You know, look up in the mountains and you see God. It's not that person who believes that there are multiple kinds of baptisms. Different churches that have different systems of worship and devotion. It's not the person who lights candles and counts beads. Who baptizes infants. You know that person isn't drawing near to God. And so we look at ourselves in the mirror of God's Word and we say, am I this person? Because if I am, you've passed three tests already. Well, number four, it is the one who declares faith, repentance, baptism in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. as the only way to enter into the Lord's church. This is a person like the Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 20 at verse 27 who says, I have not shunned to declare to you the whole counsel of God. This is a person who teaches what Jesus taught in Mark 16, 16. He who believes and is baptized. This is a person who says that repentance and remission of sins should be preached to all nations. It's a person who, in answer to the question, what must we do? He says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, for the remission of your sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. It's the one that says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe Him. Believe His words. And you and all your household shall be saved. You see, that's who this is. And you know, when you think about this, you have to ask the question, well, who is it not? Who is it not? And I'll tell you what, who it's not. It is not the man who says that we're saved by asking Jesus into our hearts. It's not the man who says you're saved by faith and faith only. It's not the man who teaches that you have to give a personal... You know, I read from a Baptist manual the other day that they said that in the first century, baptism was absolutely the only way to find entrance into the body of Christ, the church. But nowadays it's different. They said nowadays, we have to examine the individual, listen to their testimony, and vote whether or not that person's worthy. And if they are, they can be baptized into our congregation. It's not that man. It's not someone that believes you have to be tested by some man who cannot see the heart. It's not that man. Number five, it is the one who affirms that the signs, miracles, wonders that confirm the word, that's what their job was, have now ceased and vanished away. And you can kind of guess where this goes. You know, after the Lord spoke to the apostles, what did He tell them to do? He went up and sat down at the right hand of God and He told them to go out and preach everywhere, confirming the word with the accompanying signs. That's what they did. But we don't need those today. We can read in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, beginning at verse 8, that love never fails, but where there are prophecies, they will fail. Where there is tongues, they shall cease, and where there is knowledge, it shall be done away. For we know in part and prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect comes, that which is in part will be done away. We understand that. And it's a man who teaches that. And it's not somebody who professes that the Holy Spirit is working daily in their lives, guiding them, talking to them, sitting on their bedside. It's not the Pentecostal or charismatic Catholic Church that falsely claim that men still have revelation from God, that men still speak in tongues and work miracles by the Spirit of God. Men who receive... You know, it's just a test. Are you drawing closer to God? Are you affirming that these things have passed? Because if you are, then you've passed test number five. Number six. It is the one who is set for the defense of the gospel. It's one who casts down the strongholds and the arguments of error. It's that person that is talked about in Jude, who earnestly contends for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints, Jude 3. Philippians 1 and 17, it's the person that's appointed for the defense of the gospel. And when we think about that in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, this is the person that doesn't walk in the flesh, doesn't war in the flesh, but they're strong, pulling down the mighty, their stronghold, their power, their arguments. It's from the knowledge of God. And that's going to bring down every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. And you know who it's not? When you look at a person and you see that they are a person who apologizes and sympathizes with denominational teaching. They never criticize anyone except for a good man who exposes error and exposes false teaching. And if you're that person, you're not drawing near to God. But if you're the one who's set for the defense of the gospel, there's another sign that you can look at yourself and say, I'm drawing near to God in this category. Number seven, it is the one who preaches the one. One fold. One shepherd, Jesus Christ. One kingdom of God. One name, Jesus Christ. But by that name, we can be saved, and there is no other name. It's the one that Jesus talks about. He calls himself in John chapter 14 and verse 6 when he says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. I am the way. Not a way. He's not a God. And he's not just one of many. But I am the way. In Acts chapter 4 and at verse 12, there is no salvation in any other name under heaven given to men by which men must be saved. And like Philip, you know, he preached concerning the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus. He preached the need for baptism in Acts chapter 8. And when you read that, we know what the eunuch said. There is water, what hinders? This is a person who is trying to emulate God. This is a person who is teaching and preaching only the God of heaven, the one true God. He's the person who looks at Ephesians chapter 4 and says it's simple. And if you're that person, then it's a good thing, because that means you've passed seven of the tests. The last test is number eight. It is the one who preaches the one fold, the one shepherd, the kingdom of God. I just went through that, didn't I? Somewhere I messed that up. Heaven. You know what heaven is? Heaven is where it's where the water of life is, the tree of life. I want you to think about that, heaven. Because if heaven is everything that's described in the Scriptures, it's a place we want to be. I'll tell you what number eight is here. I have it in my notes. Number eight is the one who insists that we must not go beyond what is written. Number eight is one who insists that we must have book, chapter, verse for everything that we practice, everything that we do, everything that we believe. And Paul mentions that in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, 6, when he simply says, do not think beyond what is written. Don't think beyond that, you know? If anyone adds to the prophecy of this book, and God will add to them all the plagues of Egypt, Revelation Revelation. I'll tell you, I'll think of it here in a second. It's chapter 22. And so, that's that person. If you're a person that can just trust in God, then we know that you're not a man who scoffs at such appeals and calls us legalists or pharisaical. You see, we're a person of God who trusts God and insists that we live and preach and teach and worship in spirit and truth. You pass that test, you're in good company. When we think about the water of life Jesus talked about, we think about the Spirit of God and all these matters and the power of God, and the idea is just draw closer to God. Be those eight things. Allow yourself to be tested by the Word of God. If you fall short, then work can be done. But if you're passing those tests, be assured that you're a person that is drawing closer to God. And when we think of heaven, the water of life, the tree of life, doesn't that draw you to God? It's a motivation to be there. Our society, you know, everybody's worried about our water. They're all worried that we're going to run out of water. And You know, water might get scarce someday and there might be bad weather coming and a little global warming and all that. But one thing that I know is that the end will come by the hand of God, not the hand of man. But we have to trust God, and we know that in heaven there is a great place where there's a pure river of water of life. And that ought to draw you up. Even if you passed all these tests, it should draw you up. It should put you in a position where you just want to be there. You know, John was privileged to see a glimpse of heaven, and John was shown a pure river of water of life. He was shown a clear as crystal proceeding from the throne of God and from the Lamb. Man, I want to be there. I want to see what John saw. Does this place, heaven, interest you? Is that a place you want to be? You know, the conversation that Jesus had with the woman of Samaria, that caused her to want this living water. It caused her to want something more than what she had. It caused her to say, "Give me this water." And we can learn from the story of Jesus, from the living water, as we think about accessing the tree of life and the river that flows from the pure water of life that flows from the throne of God. That should make us want to be there. And there's a call that we read in the Scriptures. And the Spirit and the Bride say, "Come." You see it? "Come. And let him who hears say, 'Come.' Let him who thirsts come. And whoever desires, let him take of the water of life freely." Well, I'll tell you, there are so many things that help us to be conformed. And Matthew, or Romans chapter 12, verse 2, "Be not transformed by the renewing of your mind, but be conformed by the renewing of your mind. Do not be imitators of this world, but be conformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, perfect, and acceptable will of God." That's how we're conformed here. Passing all those tests, we're conformed here. We're becoming more like God every day of our lives. And that causes us to be drawing closer and closer to God. But listen, here's a call. It's a call to come to a place that is wonderful. The invitation is worldwide. Does it interest you? You know, before we can have access to that living water, we have to obey God. Access to that tree of life that's in heaven, we have to obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. We have to hear John chapter 17, verse 5. "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Hear he him." John 8 and 24, we have to believe that Jesus is the Christ. We have to repent of our sins, Acts chapter 17 and at verse 30. And we have to confess our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, Matthew chapter 10, verse 32. And be baptized for the remission of our sins, Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. That puts us on that right road. That puts us in a position with our eyes focused on heaven. That's the prize. That's the prize. And again, can I interest you in that place called heaven? What John saw, that pure river, the midst of the street, the Colossians chapter. You know that Colossians, it describes that the members of the church and in heaven itself, it's the Lord's people. God will bring you there without respect of person. You'll have access to that water of life and that tree of life. It's in the midst. And the tree of life, Revelation chapter 22 and verse 2. It's a pictorial image of a tree that bears fruit every single month. And that fruit, that's, you know, beautiful language, that the leaves of that tree, they're for the healing of the nations. God itself is the source. Can I interest you in being there one day? Revelation chapter 21, 21. The 12 gates were 12 pearls. Each individual gate was one pearl. And the street of the city was pure gold like transparent glass. I mean, can you imagine what John saw? Just that little glimpse. A place where things are holy. It's God's house. It's a place we want to be. There is no corrupt thing there. There is nothing that defiles there. It is a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful place. And those redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ, one day will reign there with Him forever. Eternal glory with Jesus Christ that was promised. That ought to be our ultimate goal. That is such motivation that I want to be more like Christ every day of my life. I want to draw nearer and nearer and nearer to my Lord God. I want to be there. And I want to be a partaker of that beautiful, beautiful gift. You know, we sing a song, song number 730, How Beautiful Heaven Must Be. I want to be there. You want to be there? Listen, we are there because we become followers of the apostles and of the Lord Jesus Christ. We've received the Word with much affliction, with joy of the Holy Spirit, 1 Thessalonians 1 and 6. This will get us there. We need to abide in Christ. John chapter 15 verses 1 through 6. We want to be ready to die in the Lord. Revelation 14 and 3. Heaven. It's a wonderful place. And we need to be drawing closer to God every day of our lives. So finally, in closing, let's look at Revelation chapter 7, verses 15 through 17. Wonderful words of life. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve Him day and night in His temple, and He who sits on the throne will dwell among them. Can you imagine that? The Creator of heaven and earth, the Creator of all the expanse of the universe, the omnipotent and omniscient and omnipresent God. He's going to walk with you in that place called heaven. Is that going to want you to draw closer to Him while you're here? And they shall neither hunger anymore nor thirst anymore. Wouldn't that be nice? The sun shall not strike them, nor any heat. For the Lamb of God who is in the midst of the throne will shepherd them and lead them to the living fountains of water. Give me this water. I want to be there. God will wipe away every tear from every eye. No more death, no more pain, no more backache, no more flus. It's all gone. Everything's made new. I think these are really good reasons why we should all want to be drawing closer to God. You know, and Paul, the apostle in Galatians chapter 3 at verse 26 and following, he says that you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus, for as many of you were baptized into Christ and put on Christ, and there now is neither male or female or bond and free, slave or free, Jew, Greek, it doesn't matter anymore. Because in Christ Jesus, through Abraham's seed, according to the promise, we all become one. And that's going to be wonderful there. I hope you'll decide to draw near to God even more so than you have. I think it's so important for us all. And you know, if you haven't drawn near to God, the invitation, of course, is to do that now. Come forward. Take part of the water, living water of life that Jesus promised. Be baptized. Wash away your sins. And if you have drawn near to God and you have some manner of sin that's causing you to be pulled away and maybe turned in a different direction, Now's the time to change that. Song number 845, are you coming to Jesus tonight? If you have need, I invite you now to come forward as we stand and as we sing.